Welcome, Royals fans, to this week's edition of Inside Athletics Podcast. James DeBoer with you this week as Dave King is out, and you're probably going to find that happens more often throughout the summer as our schedules get a little different, less consistent, I guess you could say. Dave is doing a trip through Ohio again this week and doing work. He's not slacking. It's work, partially at least. So I'm filling in for Dave this week, and we'll be talking a bit more about some of the awards and the awards processes, actually, and then a couple of things that I face as an SID a little more and what I do during the summer. But let's start out with the All-ODAC softball teams. That was just released late last week. And, you know, Dave and I talked about a couple of weeks ago what might happen with some of these All-ODAC teams in baseball and softball and how where we finish in the standings might affect how the players did. So I'll come back around to that in just a little bit, but just a quick recap. Lisa Lee was our highest finishing individual. She was named the All-ODAC second team. And we had four players named the All-ODAC third team. Rashida Cruz, Sarah Jenkins, Courtney Allman, and Brooke Hensley, for the most part, our infield got named. It's pretty interesting. But they were all named to the All-ODAC third team. And if in case you're wondering where the third team came from, last year, all sports, I think, had a first and second team and an honorable mention. The honorable mention was kind of a coach's toss-up in years past. Actually, different sports had it set up differently. The coach might name it, might be someone who got the most votes, whatever. So they streamlined it this year, and all sports now have a first, second, and third team. The honorable mention is gone, and it's all votes. So it streamlined a little bit. That's where the third team came from, if you don't remember it from last year. But so that who was named for us, an interesting name that I thought that was left off was Molly Smith, left fielder for us, did a little bit of pitching. She was one of our top RBI players and one of the top RBI players in the conference, actually, and just didn't get on. And in a way, you got to think that could be one of the fallouts of us finishing sixth in the conference standings. I mean, it's hard to know. The coaches vote on it, and it's hard to know when they look at it, you know, how things come out, because I don't think you necessarily as a coach would not vote for somebody because their team didn't do well. Statistically speaking, we had a bunch of great numbers again this year, not too much different from last year, some better than last year. But last year, I think we had four players on softball's All-ODAC first team. We didn't get anybody this year on the first team, and only one on the second team. So a bit of an interesting turn. And even like Courtney Allman, I looked at her numbers, and she was in the top, I think, five of all three categories of the Triple Crown, batting average, home runs, and RBIs, and she finished on a third team. So just interesting in how some of the voting might get done. And of course, as we've talked about in the past, sometimes people just fall through the cracks for whatever reason that might happen. But so that was how things shook out in the softball side of things. A reminder of what the baseball had. We had three players named to the second team, Bo Bangelsdorf, Justin Rodriguez, and Chris Rodriguez. And the sad and interesting omission from that list was Dylan Smith. He was named to an All-ODAC team each of his first 3 years, I think. I can't remember. It was either first or second both years. And then this year he switches from catcher to first base and ends up not getting on a team, despite being one of the top batting average batters in the conference, definitely one of the top on-base percentages in the conference. But I think for him, first base is just a tough position. You find the same things in the major leagues, that first base is a hard place to get because you often expect a lot of hitting out of your first baseman. A catcher, you might not expect as much hitting out of a catcher. You look for them more for your defense. So I don't know why Dylan necessarily got left off, but kind of sad that he didn't get on. Definitely some really good players. I believe the conference player of the year was a first baseman. From Randolph Macon, I think, but he's a very good player. So there's a lot of good players at first base, and just kind of sad from my end, at least, to see you know, Dylan had been on 3 years and just didn't get on his second year. And years from now, I think when you look back at players, it's hard to know what to think of a player years from now. Like if we're looking at a Hall of Honor induction, when you go down the hallway and look at our Hall of Honor, what you see is their awards that they won. And so it's kind of hard when you look at Dylan, you're going to say, what happened to this kid? You know, he was on 3 years and not his fourth year. You know, how come he was not his fourth year? And what you lose when we just look at awards years from now, maybe not as much the numbers as much. And it's hard to see that he was still an incredible team leader. He sacrificed, moved down to first base. I think it helped the team out to move him to first. And Jonathan Estrada did a lot of the catching this year. And so it worked for him at first. And he still batted pretty well, but he didn't get the postseason award. So I think that's something that sometimes, you know, might get forgot years down in the future. But so that, just from my angle, that's something that I'm kind of get sad about, that someone misses out on a team like that. But then again, getting on an all-conference team, for as much fun as it is, you know, it's frankly, it's just a piece of paper or something that says, hey, you did a great job this year. And realistically, you know, I think the players years from now, they might be frustrated, didn't get on a team, but, you know, all the teammates, they're going to say, you know, it doesn't matter that Dylan wasn't on an all-conference team or that Molly wasn't on an all-conference team or we didn't get anyone on the first team or whatever. When everyone from the team, which is probably what matters the most, everyone from the team remembers how good everybody was and who played what roles on the team. And so I think the players probably remember that stuff down the road. It's maybe just something that we as the fans focus on a little bit more. But looking ahead, there will be some more regional and state awards coming out. And just to give you some thoughts as to how those awards work, there's regional awards for most of our sports, but especially on the regional level, they get taken care of very differently. You look at like cross country, and that one is strictly, you know, whoever finishes in the top seven spots at the regional meet goes to the regional first team, and it's very straightforward like that. But a lot of the other sports will have a voting process, obviously, and for some, D3 Sports, it's a website, d3sports.com. They've been trying to become more of a centralized figure in the world of the NCAA Division III, and they've done a good job with that. So we've seen some regional teams kind of come under their umbrella, and they kind of turn into the quote-unquote official one on some levels. But we see a lot of them for basketball. I know they're doing one for baseball, but I don't think they do it for all sports, which I'm interested in. Soccer. And some of this might just depend on how strong the coaches' organizations are in the past. Soccer has always had a strong coaches' association. Softball does too, actually, a very strong coaches' association, and they've always had regional teams. And in some sports like baseball, there's a D3 baseball ranking, but there's also a coaches' ranking. And so some, they're kind of mixed. But the regional voting processes, at least, I know for basketball, and I think baseball is going to work the same way, they're all nominated by the SIDs. And some of these sports, the coaches would obviously nominate if their coaches' associations are strong enough. But the SIDs will nominate, and then there's a panel of SIDs, and I think they include some media members in there, and they kind of spread it out a little bit, and they'll end up voting on it. So I've actually been involved the last 2 years on the D3Hoops.com regional voting panel. So it's been kind of fun to be involved in that. And if you're wondering how you get involved, it's probably not because I'm an awesome SID, although I'd love to say that. Probably just because our basketball team did well. And so they say, hey, let's put EMU's SID on the voting panel. So, but anyway, it's just a small panel that, and it's been a lot of fun to look through some of those numbers, and it's really hard to compare across the region. D3 sports, it's not like Division I sports. It's not like you can go on ESPN and see how somebody from LaGrange is batting, or someone, you know, from Texas Baptist is batting or shooting hoops or, you know, whatever. You don't see those numbers very well every night, and so you're kind of left with the end of the season stats. And so it's a lot harder process in Division III, I think, because you really end up, I mean, when you do an all-regional team, you got to compare against the other people from, you know, in our region, we're the South region. We stretch to the eastern parts of Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi. So how in the world we don't play those teams at all? So sometimes it's really hard to compare, you know, if you're looking to vote for somebody from EMU or Guilford or Lynchford, how you compare them against somebody from Louisiana College or Millsaps or Oglethorpe or I don't know, all these weird names that I recognize. But it's really hard to compare, I think. And so that process takes a little bit longer, and it's a bit trickier for the voters, but it's still fun to come out with those regional teams. Then we have the all-state teams. That is done by the Virginia Sports Information Directors Association. And so we get together, and that's strictly the Virginia SIDs. And so the funny part about that is sometimes the awards don't come down till later. We're in the middle of doing the basketball awards right now. I think the men's basketball awards just got announced for All-State, and women should be coming up shortly, but the season was done a while ago. Yes, I recognize that. But sometimes that's just a matter of how hard it is for SIDs to find free time to put something together. But so those are all done by the sports information directors and voted on by the sports information directors. It's purely a Virginia SID thing. But we do that, I believe, for every sport, not the cross countries and tracks, but all the other sports pretty much. And so that's kind of fun to see those as well. What does an SID do during the summer? I've had that question, and you know, everyone, you know, all my compatriots around the league know that, you know, this is the time where you don't work or whatever. And some of us are on different contracts, a 9-month, a 10-month, a 12, some are lucky enough to be on a 12-month contract. I'm on a 10.5-month contract. So what I do is for 3 months during the summer, I work half time. So it's nice enough where Dave is flexible enough with me where I don't have to, you know, say I'm going to work solid for this week and then not the next week. If I want to work 4 hours one day, none the next day, 8 hours the next day, it's flexible. So that's great. I can move things around. But for the most part, I got 3 months and I just work half the time. But what in the world do I do? And it's funny. I was just telling my wife the other day that it was frustrating for me to go home because I got to switch gears during the school year. I'm working solid, and there's games all the time, so it's pretty easy. I know what I do. I come in, all right, I got to get ready for the soccer game tonight or the basketball game this afternoon or whatever. You know, it's a lot easier to figure out what to do. Now I have a list. Here's these 10 things I got to do this summer, and I need to get them done. There's not that day-to-day deadline. They're generally bigger projects, so it's a way different mind frame for me, and it's hard sometimes to come in, and you know, my normal pattern is – you know, I know what little things to do when I get into the office, and now I got this big list. So here's a couple of things that I'm trying to work on. I want to update the record books. For each sport, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but each sport has its own record book. It's a PDF that you can view on the sports homepage. But we update those, and some were done during the school year by my student workers, and some I have to do now. And so I got to sit down and do all those, which is it's not a hard task. It's just kind of tedious. You know, like for baseball, not only do we have the season and the career records, we also have a season top 10 list. So you can look back and see the top 10 seasons for home runs by an individual in EMU history. So I can go in my stat program. I'm probably going to bore half you guys already, but the process is, you know, I got to quote run stats out of my stat program, and you can tell it to look for career stats or season stats. And so it's just kind of tedious to sit down and page your way through here. It's like, all right, you know, my record for home runs in a season is 8 or whatever. And so I'm looking through the stats and looking for all the numbers that maybe are over 8. And then I got to adjust who's in what spot. And so it's a fun process, just kind of tedious. There's a lot of updating of the website that I try to do during the summer. And so some of that is conceptual work, which you just kind of step back and think about it. And most of my work during the school year is hands-on. I just jump right in. So you're pulling back a little bit and looking, okay, you know, what area of the website haven't I done very much with? Or, you know, we have a little spot of features buttons that, and it scrolls through the different features we have. And so update some of those and maybe write some new things to be in there. One thing I've been working on just today, actually, and a lot of this week, is the article for the Athletic Honors Banquet, which is a lot of fun. And it starts really easy. Write an article, and you know, it's the basic thing. We had a banquet, so and so won, and that's kind of the deal. Well, as technology advances, I realize there's more and more fun things I can do with this. So I've put in a couple of the senior reflections. We had 4 of them at the banquet. I've gotten a hold of some of their original texts, and so I've made those into little web pages. So a couple of those are linked directly in there. Well, that's fun, but it takes a little bit of time. And then I realized, well, hey, we have a video that we took of the entire thing. I'm pretty sure it's too big to put the entire video on the website, but why don't I take little snippets of it and put those on? So I'm actually in the process of looking for the senior reflection videos. And this is when I start to go over in my head. You've got different video formats and sizes. You know, is it 320 by 240 or is it 320 by 280? Or can I make it that way? Or does it look stretched? So I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, how it's going to look on the website. I kind of think I'm going to have a little stretched video, but at least the video is going to be there. And so it's a really fun project, and that's going to be something that ends up in that features button area that just you can keep rotating around and see it throughout the summer, whether or not it's on the front page, I guess, of the website. But there's a lot of those fun little things to work out with on the website. And then, of course, later on in the summer, I'll gear up for the school year. I don't just start on September 1 with our first game and let her rip. I'm building rosters a couple weeks in advance, and hopefully in about a month in advance, I'm getting our posters and game day programs and pocket schedules, getting those things printed. And it's always a bit of a late rush to try to squeeze those out and make sure that the schedules are correct and make sure that I get our advertisers from Phil, who gets them. And so it's a lot of fun stuff to do, but keeps us busy during the summer. So that's the fun part. Earlier this last week, one other thing I want to tell you about before I wrap up from today, I went to the ODAC Sports Information Directors meeting down at Sweetbriar, which, by the way, has an incredible cafeteria. I just want to say that. Thank you for the large ice cream cone I had there to all the folks in Sweetbriar. But it's a fun time and a good time. Obviously, there's a lot of business that goes on at those meetings. But I think we've heard Dave talking about some of his athletic directors meetings, and it's nice to be able to sit down with your fellow SIDs. I think some of the ADs might see each other more than the SIDs do, but you know, I don't see Brad from Roanoke more than probably once a year. I might see him at the basketball tournament, but otherwise, you know, the SIDs, the D3 level, don't travel as much, so I don't see these guys. Joe from Virginia Wesleyan, I saw him at the basketball tournament, but he didn't make it to the SID meeting. So before that, previous time I'd seen him was last May. So we don't see these guys. We work with them a lot, but it's mostly emails. So for one, it's just fun to sit down with these guys and reconnect a little bit. I'm actually the sports information director's president or chairman, or I don't even remember what the actual title is, but so I led the meeting there. And one thing I added this year was a chance just to before we started our business end of things, we just sat down and just chatted for a little bit and kind of got the idea from Dave indirectly. He does the same thing with the athletic directors, but just sat down and said, hey, you know, what's one of your favorite things about being a sports information director? And just let people share a little bit. And probably about half of us said, you know, we just like the chance to interact with students and to hear their stories, which makes sense. A lot of SIDs write a lot of stories, and so it's fun to get into those stories. But so it was just fun to sit down and on our level to connect with each other, but also to see how many of us like to connect with the students. And that's a big reason why we do that. And so maybe just as a takeaway for you guys, just encourage you, you know, in your everyday life, I find this at my job, you know, I get so overwhelmed and swept up in what I have to do today sometimes that, you know, I'm getting ready for a basketball game and there's a lot to do, and saying hi to somebody is pretty hard. I'll wander by and give the generic hey to Lucinda as I walk into the office, and how's it going? Good, good. All right, good to see you again. I go back into my office for the rest of the day. But just take a chance and walk out of your office from time to time, or step away from your desk and just chat with your coworkers and see what's going on with them. I think it'll make work a lot more fun. But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't imagine that many of you remember exactly what my game day program looked like, you know, at the basketball game on January 26 or something like that. You know, so if I make a few errors in that, of spacing errors or something like that, it's not that big of a deal. And so I just want to encourage you guys to just, you know, connect with the people that you either enjoy or are stuck working with, however you want to look at it. But just plug in a little bit to the people around you. It'll make work a lot more enjoyable, and I think it makes a much more lasting impact on life in general. But I better wrap things up. I'm always surprised how much I can fill a podcast, even without Dave here, even if I don't think I have too much good stuff to talk about. So hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing a little bit about how some of our regional and such awards go, and just kind of what the summer of an SID is like. Maybe I can just recap it by saying I'm glad I'm halftime and have some free time. It's nice to have a few extra hours in the evening to not be at a ball game, even though I love the sports. But anyway, I'll wrap things up. And in the spirits of good old Dave King, who should be back next week, make it a great week.